I am Daniel Foley from the Abundant Life Training Center, and welcome to our daily communion meditation, where today we're talking about all points. Jesus was tempted, it says, in all points. He knows everything that we're going through. He was tempted in all points, in every way. Been thinking about this and combining it with the scripture from James. It says, if we want to be justified in God's sight by obeying the law, or by following all of the rules, then if we offend in one point, we miss it in one point. And think about that Old Testament. It had 613 laws that really we could never keep. Most of us have missed it by the time we get up and going in the morning. You miss it in one point, you're guilty of breaking the whole thing. But yet Jesus was tempted in all points. He was tempted in every way, from every direction. And he fulfilled this law for us. And so now if we get just one point right of believing in him, we get that one point right of just believing in him. It's credited to us as righteousness. All of these amazing gifts of grace are accessed through that one point of just believing in him. We've talked about over this last year about how points in one thing lead to waves of things happening in our lives, which leads to bigger cycles. Whether those cycles are virtuous or vicious, these points lead to waves or surges of things, which leads to bigger cycles of things in our lives. And Jesus was tempted in all points so that we can get this one point right. Changes everything. So we're going to get started with prayer. If you're new to us here, the way we do these daily communion meditations is we start with about a two-minute-long prayer that's mostly scripture, coming from Ephesians chapter 1, and the prayer of Jabez, found in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And then we take a few minutes to do the other half of prayer, where we go through our four fundamentals, a time to examine ourselves and get our hearts and minds positioned in the light before our time of communion for today. But I've actually got some new slides up here today. So these have not been really beautified. They're pretty simple right now, but some new slides up here that you're going to see to actually guide us through the prayer and the four fundamentals. Hopefully that you can follow along a little bit better. I think there's something powerful that not only comes when you hear it with your ears, but you also see it with your eyes. Jesus says, if you would see with your eyes, hear with your ears, understand with your hearts, with our heart, and then turn, it would lead to healing. It leads to times of refreshing. It leads to all kinds of good things on the other side. So hopefully we're going to start moving in this direction where we'll have the slides up each day and we'll work on refining them. So if there's some typos or there's some issues on the slides, forgive me today. We're going to keep making them better over time. But let's get started with the prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray for all those who are watching or listening, their families, all those connected to them, in our church and governmental leaders. Thank you for releasing us from darkness, transferring us into the light, into the kingdom of your dear Son. Thank you for your purpose and grace given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. And Father, I keep asking that you, the Father of glory, would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we would know you better, that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened to know the hope to which you've called us and the riches of your glorious inheritance that is in us, and the immeasurable greatness of your power to us who believe. The same power that you exercised in Christ when you raised him from the dead and seated him at your right hand in heavenly places. Far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And you put all things under his feet and made him to be the head of the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And Father, I ask you to bless us and make your face shine upon us. Let us find grace and favor in your eyes. I ask you to expand our borders and our territory, to expand our capacity to receive your purpose and grace, your love and your goodness, and to let it flow through us so that we do good and are a blessing to people all over the world. I ask you to keep your hand on us and help us do today what's right and best in your eyes, and to do it with peace and joy and confidence in you. We ask you to stretch out your hand to heal and do signs and wonders and keep us from evil and pain. Through the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. So now we're going to go through the other half of prayer. This is where we talk about our four fundamentals. The Bible tells us to examine ourselves before we take communion. This is a process that we can go through to get our hearts and minds positioned, examine ourselves before our time of communion. So fundamental number one, getting position in the light. And we're going to break these down a little bit more as we go. Fundamental number two, magnifying that light. Then we got staying tuned in and doing what you know to do and doing it today. So our first fundamental, getting position in the light. Remember, this is the on-off switch. Turn the lights on. This is the on-off switch. We're going to turn the lights on. We got to take our position in that light every day. Every day as time moves forward another day, you got to keep repositioning yourself back into the light. So remember, time and space are connected. It's one thing. It's space-time. So as time moves forward a day, you got to keep repositioning yourself back into position. How do we take our position in the light? Remember, it's forgiveness that brings us into the light. It's the forgiveness that transfers us into the kingdom of Jesus. And we got to receive that forgiveness from God. It's got to flow through us in the middle, which means we got to forgive ourselves. We got to stop beating ourselves up and condemning ourselves. We got to walk in forgiveness with ourselves. And then we got to walk in forgiveness with other people. It's got to flow through those three levels where we receive it from God, forgive ourselves, walk in forgiveness with other people, which means we got to let some things go, just like God has done for us. And the motivation behind that forgiveness is love. It was God's love that sent Jesus. It's God's love that gave us that forgiveness of sins. And learning to receive that love from him, and then to love yourself the same way that he's loved you, to give yourself that same grace and mercy and love that he's given you, and to let it flow through you where you begin to love other people the way that he's loved you. The same way that he's loved you, we begin to walk in that with other people. And all of this is received by faith. And one of the greatest expressions of faith is thanksgiving, gratitude, praise. One of the greatest things you can do today to keep the lights on all day. Stay positioned in gratitude and praise and thanksgiving. And remember, it's like an on-off switch. Either you're positioned in this or you're not. What's the opposite? We can be positioned in complaining. Every time we get positioned in complaining, we just turned off the lights. And that's a big deal, because what's in the light? God has taken everything he has. In his grace, he's given us everything he has and put it in Christ. It's all in this kingdom that we get into through faith. What's in the light? His spirit, his power, his presence, his love, his peace and joy and faith and kindness and goodness and greatness, his mind and his wisdom, the answers that you need for today, they're found in the light. His health and energy are in the light. His time and finances and order, everything he has is put in the light, which is why it's very important to keep our position in there. We got to have the lights on for things to be flowing in our life. It's not worth it to get into unforgiveness or to step out of love with ourselves or the other people in our lives, because it shuts off the lights and it shuts off our access to all this. It's not worth it. Which is why it's more important to let those things go and to give them that same love and grace God has given you. Because when you do, you got all this waiting for you in there. It can be accessed right now, today. Then our second fundamental is magnifying the light. So we got to get the lights turned on. Number one. Number two, then we got to begin to expand that capacity. You got to make it bigger and greater on the inside of us. To magnify is to make something bigger or greater. And we're all magnifying something every day based on what we're talking about, what we're thinking about, what we're meditating on, what we're pondering, what we're imagining in our mind. We're all focused on something. while concentrating on something. And the reality is it's either light or it's darkness. As we begin to magnify the light, it's like it expands the capacity where that light begins to grow brighter and brighter on the inside of you. I think meditation, meditating on the light, meditating on God and his love and his faithfulness, gets his love rooted and grounded in your heart. It's like it expands the capacity, gets it established in your heart, where he can flow more and more of everything he has in the light through you. So how do we magnify the light? We can magnify God's word. We can give it a higher priority. We can focus on and meditate on his word throughout the day. We can meditate on his steadfast, unfailing love and his faithfulness, that he's always on time, that he always fulfills his promises. We can meditate on his mighty works, that nothing's impossible for him. We can meditate on our righteousness in Christ, that because of Jesus, we have a right standing with God, and God is with us, and he's for us. He's got blessing and favor for our lives. We can meditate on what he put within us, on every good thing that he put within us. We can meditate on whatever is lovely and just and true and praiseworthy and of good report. We can meditate on what's going well. Often we get focused on all the things that are wrong. We can meditate on what's going well. We can meditate on how far God has already brought us, what he's already done in our lives, what he's already given us in Christ. Those are some ways we can begin to magnify the light. It's all about focus. But God does give us the choice. We could choose to magnify darkness. He does give us the free will. We could choose to magnify and to focus and to get stuck on and to stew on all the ways people have wronged us, all the issues and problems, all the things from our past, the reasons why we can't step into new things today. We could be meditating and focusing and worrying about the future. We could be toiling away in our mind, trying to figure out everything, trying to figure out the solutions to all of our problems. And you've probably had this experience. The more you meditate on a problem, the more you try to figure it out, the more you try to solve it, the more you meditate on the way someone has wronged you, it begins to grow bigger on the inside of you. You feel that pressure increasing on the inside. And all of a sudden, you feel more stressed about it. You feel more irritated by it. You feel more confused, more hopeless about the situation than when you started. And you're further away from the solution than when you started, actually, the more you talk about the problem, because the answer is found in the light. And all we're doing is making the darkness bigger, which is why we got to get good at recognizing the symptoms. One of the greatest gifts God has given us, I believe, is our emotions and these symptoms, these feelings that we have on the inside that are our indicators letting us know, where's our positioning? Is the light switch on or off? What am I magnifying right now? Where's my focus? When we're magnifying darkness and we're positioned in darkness, everything feels heavy and oppressive. It feels like all the pressure's on you. Everything feels heavy and oppressive on you. You might feel hopeless for your situation. You might feel like you're trapped or you're stuck and there's no way out. You're stuck in a bad situation. There's no easy way out. You might feel your energy levels begin to decrease, and you say, why am I so tired all of a sudden? Why am I so tired all the time? Then there's the fear and the stress and the worry. There's dread of the future. Maybe there's confusion. You don't know what to do or which way to go. Maybe you're stuck in some kind of bad pattern or vicious cycle. Maybe self-sabotaging yourself. These would all be symptoms. And learning to recognize them, because the symptoms of the light, number one, you got rest in your soul. You got rest in your soul. Everything is free and easy and effortless. And you begin to feel your energy levels begin to rise up. You feel that faith and that courage begin to rise up on the inside of you. Then that peace that surpasses all understanding begins to flow. That joy of the Lord that is your strength begins to flow to equip you and to empower you to function in his strength. Usually we're more present in the present moment. And we got hope in any and every situation. We got hope because we're trusting in God's unfailing love and his power, his faithfulness. All of a sudden, we get these aha moments where just the answers to the problems you've been facing just come into your mind in a split second. all when we're in the light. Now, the good news is we can turn the tables quickly. If we're magnifying the light, focused on darkness, we're feeling those symptoms, it only takes 1 second to turn it all around. Literally, it takes 1 second to change your focus. Get back positioned in thanksgiving and praise and start praising and thanking God. Start meditating and talking about his love and his faithfulness and his promises and his word. And all of a sudden, you can feel that shift. And you'll have those indicators on the inside to let you know. And it just begins to flow all of a sudden. It takes 1 second to get it spun back around. It's an amazing gift of grace. So our third fundamental, once we get those first two in place, it's like tuning a radio receiver. And I said, all of a sudden you get these aha moments. All of a sudden your ability to hear and discern God's leading and direction for your life just gets so much more clear. And every day he's trying to lead us to this beautiful, spacious place that's free from all restriction. He's trying to lead us just one graceful step at a time, but we do have to stay tuned in, listening each day. One of my favorite things to do before bed every night is just with a pen and paper. I usually do it in my journal. Just asking God this question: God, what is it you're trying to show me? Is there anything I missed today? Is there anything I'm supposed to be walking in that I haven't done yet? And just ask these questions and just sit there and get still and listen. Proverbs 8 says, blessed is the one who listens to me, who waits daily in my doorway. Taking the time to just get still and listen. And when you don't know what to do, you wait. When you're unsure of which way to go or what to do, you wait. And you begin to ask God, you ask him the question, what do you want me to do here? What's your path through this? What's the direction you have for me in this? And you stay tuned into him. You keep listening throughout the day. You stay positioned in the light. All of a sudden, you're going to begin to hear things throughout the day. You're going to know which way to go. You're going to know what to do. It's just going to come to you. And it's going to be easy and effortless, not because you toiled away trying to figure it out. And you're going to have these times where you just know that you know that you know that you know. This is the step. This is the path to take. This is the thing to do. Which leads us to our fourth fundamental. Do what you know to do. As you stay tuned into God, you're going to know what to do, but then you got to take action. You got to take action. You might some ways to go through this. Number one, what's your to-do list? What are the things you know need to happen today? Is there anything in your conscience that keeps popping up like, oh, I know I need to do that. I keep forgetting to do that. Or something you've been procrastinating on that you know to do that you've been procrastinating on. Or maybe there's some kind of leading or something that you're just really excited to do. Those can be promptings from God as well. What do you know to do today? Not the things you're fuzzy on, not the things you're unclear on. On those things, let's keep waiting. But on the things that you know to do today, let's make that your plan for today. And then let's execute them the right way. Executing them, trusting in God, doing it together with God. Whatever God has made you to do in life wasn't meant to be done on your own. It's meant to be done in partnership with him. Doing it willingly and with a good attitude and trusting and confident in him. Getting more aware of his presence with you, executing those things. Do them with joy. Do them excellently. Do them and having fun doing them today. Not grudgingly, but do them cheerfully. And as you begin to do those things, here's what's going to happen. It's going to begin to magnetize you. When we receive this grace and we get it flowing through us out into the world, it creates something like a magnet. In the world of science, whenever electric current is flowing through a wire, it begins to create a magnet. And it begins to pull more and more of whatever you're magnifying into your life. Now, the bad news is this works in the opposite as well. The more you magnify darkness and the more you take action on darkness and those things, the more it pulls more of that into your life. But the good news is you begin to keep the lights on. You begin to magnify that light. You begin to wait in his doorway. You begin to take action on those things that you know to do. It begins to magnetize you. It begins to pull more and more of everything he has for you into your life. So let's get into our main communion for today. Hebrews 4:15 says, "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet he was without sin." So Jesus, we see him tempted in every way. He knows what it's like. He was tempted in every way, but he was without sin. Because if you look in the Old Testament law, there's two ways to be right with God. There's one, doing everything right in all points. And the other way is simply believing in Jesus. Simply believing what God has said, credited to you as righteousness. In James 2:10, it says, "For whoever keeps the whole law," you can keep all the laws, all 613 of them. You keep 612, but you mess up in one, you're doing a lot of good. You kept 612 out of 613, but you stumbled in just one point. You're guilty of breaking the whole thing. I think it's impossible for us to do. Actually, the Bible tells us it was not possible for us to do, which is why we needed a Savior. And then by believing in him, this beautiful thing begins to happen. As we believe in him, we get that one point right of just believing in him. Believing that Jesus fulfilled this for us, that he is our righteousness. Through what he did, he became our righteousness. And we can be right with God through that one point of simply believing in him. And then this beautiful, amazing thing happens. You get that one point right. And all of a sudden, he begins to come in. He begins to change our heart. He begins to change our desires. He begins to change us from the inside, where we actually desire to do good. He gives us the equipping and the empowering to do the good that we know to do. To do the good that we couldn't seem to ever do on our own. I don't know about you, but before I had God in my life, there were some things that I wanted to walk in. There were some things that I wanted to do in my life. One example I was just thinking of, I was just talking about it recently. I'd always wanted to write a book, but I could never get it done. I had this desire to do it, but could never get it done. Could never finish it. I started it several times, but could never finish one. And then within a few years of walking with God, and it's all God, it wasn't me. Within a few years of walking with God, I've got several books now. I don't even, it's 5 or 6 books now, with another one soon to be coming out. But I could never do it until he began to come in and to begin to change me from the inside. To give me that power on the inside that I didn't have before to do it. If we'll just get this one point right, just believing in him and carrying that over into everything. When it looks like there's no hope for your situation, you keep believing in him. You get that one point right. You just keep believing in him. That one point leads to those waves and virtuous cycles of things in our life. But we're going to take communion over this today. Heavenly Father, we're just so thankful for you. You loved us so much, you were willing to send your one and only Son to die for us so that we could have life and be connected back to you, can be positioned in the light with you, have your presence with us every day. So thankful for Jesus that he was willing to do it. He was tempted in all points, yet was without sin. And we've been given his righteousness. That's a truly amazing gift. We don't have to keep this whole law to be right with you. We can get that one point right. And we're just so thankful for that. Think of that. On the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he said, "Take it. Receive it." That he makes you right and holy and perfect in God's sight. That one point. Receiving that from him. That the cup of God's wrath was poured onto the body of Jesus. So that we can have the cup of his blessing. Father, we thank you for this bread and ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. If you have your bread, you can take your bread. So that after supper, Jesus took the cup. He said, this is the cup of the new covenant. In my blood, pour it out for the forgiveness of sins for many. The forgiveness of sins that brings us into light. We can have this covenant relationship with God. I think you go through this progression we've talked about today. You get positioned in the light. You magnify that light. You keep waiting in his doorway, taking action on the things that you know to do. And you keep believing in him. That one point, you're going to experience his love and his kindness and his goodness and all he has for you. This covenant relationship with him. And what's going to happen? You're going to know him better. Develop this personal relationship with him. You're just going to know him and his heart. Father, we thank you for this cup and ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. If you have your cup, you can take your cup. So now it's about walking it out today. Keep practicing those four fundamentals today. Remember, masters of anything are masters of the fundamentals. Keep putting them into practice. They are skills. They are practices that we can walk in at higher and higher levels. And get that one point right. Believing in him. That one point right. Believing in him. Trusting in him. Even if things are not going exactly the way you want them to, keep believing him. Keep believing. Keep trusting in him. In that one point. I hope this has been helpful for you. If you'd like to learn more about partnering with us in the Abundant Life Blueprint, you go to the AbundantLifeTrainingCenter.com.